This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My first series, The Storm Below, is now out as a full box set. Today, I'm joined by Jeffrey Neil Kippel. He is the author of The Ridiculous Adventures of Serebanad.
How are you doing today, Jeffrey?
I'm actually doing awesome. Thanks for asking and for having me on the show.
I have no problem. Yeah, so where are you in the world?
I am in an area called Muskoka, which I describe as we live kind of in the middle of the forest on a lake, about 2 hours or 2.5 hours north of Toronto in Canada.
Okay, yeah, that sounded very like Albertan for a place name. It's almost like the Native American names I have here where I live here in the Pacific Northwest, but I didn't recognize it. And then you were like, it's in the middle of a forest, but I'm like, okay, now I feel like you're just in the middle of nowhere, Canada.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But it's also a very well-known tourist attraction and destination.
Oh, okay.
Fairly like a high-end, so it's kind of cool. It's in nature, but it's a little village at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't the borders with the U.S. and Canada just kind of open today for, like, non-work stuff?
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
I thought I heard November 1st. It was opening up for, like, non-work travel.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Maybe I'm mistaken. I was listening to someone from Canada talking about, like, they had just come to the U.S. for a work trip, and then they mentioned, like, I think November 1st or something. But who knows?
It's changing often.
Yeah. So are you a dog person or a cat person there, Jeffrey?
Funny. We just got a cat. I've been a dog person all my life, and my wife and I had 3 dogs all at the same time. And recently we got a cat, and at first I thought I was being a traitor. You know, I'm going against what I would have ever thought. I've always had a dog. And it's been really a cool experience because the cat is so different than the dog. So if you were to ask me now, am I a cat or a dog person? I'm seeing them both with really cool redeeming qualities on both ends. So, it's both.
Okay, cool. So how long have you wanted to be an author, Jeffrey?
I'm 52 years old right now. I started writing when I was about 15, 16. And when I started writing, originally it was for me to continue my imagination and the journey that I wanted to, you know, be in. I was reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and when that ended, I wanted to continue that story. And I started writing. And it was when I would laugh when I read my own work, but when I gave it to friends to read and they laughed, that's when I realized, oh, this is kind of cool. I want to do this.
Okay. So this is what, the late 80s?
Yeah. Mid 80s. Mid to late 80s, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you're a decade on me, so like it was like the mid 90s for me when I started writing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So let's talk about one of your writings, The Ridiculous Adventures of Serebanad. So who is Serebanad, and what makes their adventures ridiculous?
Serebanad is this sort of adventurer, party kind of guy, easygoing, just always looking for fun kind of character. He's from a planet called Placelnor. And he just likes enjoying life. And through some kind of crazy incident, which we won't get into right now, he gets transferred into the body of someone who's on Earth. And now he's experiencing his life through all these new awarenesses and these new experiences that he's having. Everything from understanding how gravity works to, you know, what is a cow?
Fair enough. Sounds kind of fun. So he's kind of wandering around Is it set in our world or a fantasy world?
It's a combination. On our world, it's our world. But when they're in space, because Serbanand, there was a transference of bodies, and that human that he transferred into him. So there's the whole space world, sci-fi, fantasy world, you know, that's happening at the same time.
Cool. Tell us kind of maybe a little bit of, like, kind of what's sort of a, you know, what is there an antagonist? Is it like a series of vignettes? Is it one big story that builds for something?
It's a big story that builds, and one of the key things, my background is in the wellness world and empowerment space, and there's the messaging that's contained throughout the book that is a lot about self-discovery and self-growth. So the story intertwines within that with all the funny moments, you know, in between, that also start to create more advanced awareness for people. So it is a story, it is a journey, and the characters are going through their growth stages through that journey as we learn more about them. And this is the first book of a series.
Okay, cool. So besides Serbanand and guy who he body swapped with, are any other interesting characters?
So there's a bird that thinks it's on Broadway all the time, so all its lines are sung, which really comes out in the audiobook version. It's just like a hilarious when that character comes in. And the other strong character is the ship's computer, and its name is Gottfried.
Okay. Gottfried, the ship's computer. That sounds really interesting.
He's that all-knowing, you know, about everything and everyone. And what happens is when they're flying through some crazy asteroid belt trying to escape from something, he gets hit. And his personality shifts to be much more trying to play practical jokes and trying to get even with people. And his personality turns a bit more dark. So you kind of see that happening in the sort of the playfulness between the characters based on his model of the world.
Okay. That sounds interesting. And so where did the idea for The Ridiculous Adventures of Serbanand come from?
So I was reading The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in my early mid-teens. And it was the first time that I read a book like that that actually made me laugh out loud just by reading the book. And I loved it, so I read the entire series, and I read it again. And then there was no more books in that series. And not long after, Douglas Adams wasn't around anymore to write that. So I just wanted to continue the story. So I just imagined what it would be if I was that space alien guy, and if I was the guy here on Earth, and just started writing and started creating the world that I would have wanted to continue if I was going to go on an adventure.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I do remember, I read, I think I read the first two. Maybe I made it to the third one. They were weird. I liked them. At the same time, I didn't like them because there was no, like, real continuity. So it kind of annoyed me.
Well, it was a specific style. So I liked how there was the playfulness and just the different ways of looking at things.
Yeah. So it was very, I mean, I loved it. And yet at the same time, I was annoyed by some of the, it was more like I just really liked story continuity. So it was really fun to read, but it's like I have to take it in like smaller doses. I think I can't binge. I tried to binge it, and that was my mistake.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, I took, you know, influences from Hitchhikers and from Monty Python, you know, that type of wit and humor that is a little bit subtle and could also be right in your face too.
That's a good way to describe Monty Python. It's subtle in your face humor.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. So what do you think it takes to write like a good humorous story? Like, I mean, I've had to write some stuff with my writing partner, Michael Evan, for his sort of absurd stuff. And he's always like, tells me my stuff's funny, but I never feel it. Like, I write just sort of the banter I would do, but I don't know. To me, I never felt like I was really good at writing humor, even though everyone like tells me they laugh at the stuff. So maybe I'm better at it than I think, but I'm not good at constructing a joke. I'm more good at the sort of banter and making weird, absurd situations as opposed to like a good constructed joke that, you know, builds on itself. That's not something I'm really good at.
You know, I think there's so many different types of styles of what is defined as humor, where there is that style where it is a specifically constructed joke and or a build up to that joke or so. I've never really looked at it from that way. I've looked at it as just keeping it really fun and light and it building into the humor aspect and looking at things in with a slightly different way of looking at it or framing it from a different way than normally would be without first thinking, oh, I need to write a joke for this sentence. It may be on like the next round where it's going in and saying, okay, I see that, and how can I make that more punchy, or how could I, you know, turn that into something that is something that's even more funny than just the subtleness that was there. For me, I have found that when I put too much thought into that first sort of time that you're putting it on the screen or on paper, then it becomes harder for it to be a funny line. But if I just am open to like that, when you just get into flow and you're just letting your words flow out and get onto the screen or paper, then I find that the humor is going there because that's the energy that I'm trying to keep it in. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I find when I do write humor, it's usually very situational. It's like me having like the character making a joke or something that just happened or something. So it's kind of like me in the moment go like, oh, hey, maybe this is a little absurd. Maybe they say that, or, you know, they're kind of a jokey character. So they're going to be flippant about something that's dangerous or, you know, cause very much, I don't know if you ever watched the TV show like Stargate SG-1.
Yeah.
Okay. So Colonel Jack O'Neill, he's always like flippant in the face of danger. I very much like having characters like that, that just don't take, they're taking the piss out of like the bad guys, you know, who are being a little over the top or whatever.
Yeah.
My DM hated that when we would do that in his campaigns. But so that's kind of the humor I like. So I don't know. That's just, so it's not like I'm trying to be funny. I'm just more like, I think the character would just say something that's, you know, they're trying to joke around or whatever, like, you know, friends do or whatever. That's kind of, and then just making absurd situations, which are, I think, fun. And then putting people into absurd situations, I guess there's always that sort of, you know, that form of humor.
Yeah.
But, not good on the puns. I will say that. So, or the wordplay. That's not me, but.
Yeah, sometimes that's fun.
Yeah. So, you said this is the first book in the series. Is it going to be a lot of books, a trilogy, duology? You don't know.
I've started the second one. The original goal was to do 5, and it may go beyond on that. The idea is within each book, there is 2 or 3 underlying ahas or self-discovery lessons that people can learn or kids can learn or adults can learn. So it's being able to keep that going through the series.
Okay.
I went with 5 because there's 4 main five main characters within this right now. And I'm sure there's going to be new ones that pop up and will need their own book, you know, along the journey too.
Okay, cool. So what is that? What is the audience for this sort of aimed at?
You know, originally when I did it, it was just for people. I thought it was going to be people who like hitchhikers, and that was really my key audience. And I realized that is varied because there's the original generation of people and then people that might be learning it now. But what I've been finding is that, yes, it's appealing to that hitchhiker's audience. it's appealing to a whole other audience that are just looking at it from the standpoint of it's something to do as an escape, and it's just a fun, lighthearted book as a way to feel good. And then a lot of people are telling me that they're reading it to their kids, and their kids love it. So I see that I'm appealing to a number of different audiences, and I've done a few talks to large groups of kids, and I get a good response from it because it's that imagination that you're helping them realize and explore. So I think the audience, while at the beginning I thought it was very specific, I think it's much, much wider. I think people are looking for something to make them feel happy or feel good, and it's a quick read or it's a quick listen. So I think the audience is still much bigger, and it's still being defined.
Okay, cool. So you mentioned that there are sort of lessons in there. Do you find it hard to put the lessons in without coming across as preachy? Because I don't know about you, but it's fine if there's a moral lesson in a story, right? But when it's lecturing you on the moral lesson, that can be annoying.
Yeah, fully understood. So on two parts. One, I believe in subtlety. So it's sharing that in a very subtle way through story or through a fun experience that someone could look at and get an aha moment out of it, or get a new realization, or if they weren't open to that, it's not going to offend them in any way. Where I've had a lot of benefit is that my wife helped me with the editing part of the book, not the editing insofar as grammar and structure, the editing from the standpoint of, okay, are we staying true to a bigger vision, and are those underlying messages coming through without being preachy, without being in your face? So again, that those who need to hear it, and those who don't won't be offended, and they won't even realize that they didn't hear something that they didn't need to.
Okay, yeah, so development editing then.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, all right. Well, sounds really neat. So, and this sort of ties into your job as sort of a mentor and a coach. Yeah, for, what is it? Hashtag Think Fit. Is that Rethink Fit?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, why don't you touch on that a bit?
I mean, again, the goal I've had throughout my life, that, feeling of being able to, I guess one of my unique talents is being able to share a message, and whether that's through a book or through its speaking engagements or through mentoring people. So I've done that on stages throughout my life, and I see the book as a platform to be able to get a message across to a much larger group of people, some of whom would need a direct coaching or mentorship, and there's programs for that. But the idea is to be able to touch as many people as possible through the lived experience and the wisdom and things that I've learned over the years under mentorship with many, many different people. So I have that ability to do it, and I do it in all kinds of formats. So that direct one-to-one mentorship or coaching, I do it through group coaching and retreats and workshops, and then by using different ways to spread a message, like I'm doing through the book, or by giving people simple action steps that they can take so that they have an aha and an awareness that shifted something in their life, so that they can also inspire other people to do the same thing.
Okay, awesome. Well, so other than the sequel to The Ridiculous Adventures of Serbanad, do you have any other fictional projects in the work?
I have one that's at the opposite end of the scale, which is a book called The Again, which really is on the notion that certain patterns have happened, here in civilization many, many times. And it's like that wheel is coming around another time, and it's, okay, we need to learn our lessons. Otherwise, that is going to repeat itself again.
Awesome. Well, so where can our listeners sort of connect with you on the internet?
So my website is serbanand.com. That's serbinand.com. There's actually a sneak peek of the first chapter of the book both in audio and written, and on most social media platforms under Jeffrey Kippel. That's on LinkedIn or Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And on the website Vocal, I have an active blog on there as well.
Okay. Okay, so that's, I was wondering what that one link was. I was like, what is Vocal Media? I put it on the, it'll be on the notes for the podcast, but I was really confused by that. Yeah. I had not seen that one before.
It's a new community that I found, and it's like many others that, you know, pay you something for you creating content. The reason using it was for the purposes of making sure I'm back into writing. Why? Because you could only do a post with an image or a video, but it has to be 600 words or more. So it put me into a position of me saying, you know what, I'm just going to do my blogs here because it's forcing me to have to write that amount of content every day. And even if I want to use it for my stories, this gives me, you know, a potential audience to play with, but still be writing that first draft and making me, you know, have to write. So that's why I use that platform. Figure, okay, I'll put my blogs there. I'll start it.
Okay, cool. That sounds really great. Well, thank you for joining me today, Jeffrey.
Thank you very much. That was awesome.
Yeah, you have yourself a great day.
Thank you, and you as well.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.